Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game, we are live at the Gaylord Springs Golf Club, where the NFL Alumni Tournament is going on, or charity golf event. So a lot of fun to be had here on the program. It is a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We got College World Series to get into. Mm-hmm. Vanderbilt tomorrow, Tennessee on Sunday. It is going to be very – the College World Series is hard. I think people struggle with that. It is a hard
– and, I mean, they've had a hard road getting there, and it only gets tougher.
But it is time now for Headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman and Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
A little update from the U.S. Open. Richard Bland is currently in first with Russell Henley and Brooks Koepka tied for second.
Who's that? Who's that? Brooks Koepka.
First one. Couldn't tell you. Second one, couldn't really tell you. I can tell you he's from the United States. And then Brooks Koepka. I wonder where his friend Bryson is. His best friend. Bryson DeChambeau.
The big boy, Bryson DeChambeau.
We do not body shame on this show.
He's a big boy.
He's husky.
He is a big boy.
And according to Brooks Koepka, he's slow.
Well, that would not surprise me because he is, in fact, a big boy. Most big boys are kind of slow. Very few people are both big and fast. But
Derrick Henry.
But let me state for the record that I could not give two poops about the U.S. Open. Now,
well,
you put somebody good on Sunday like Rory McIlroy or Phil Mickelson or...
both of whom are very low down on the leaderboard, but it's only Friday.
Lord, please be with Tiger Woods so we can get him back in golf at some point, because I'll watch if Tiger's in there. But, I mean, if Richard Bland is at the U.S. Open, pass.
Fine. Fair. Or your guy, Hideki Matsuyama.
Hey, I'm just telling you, I called it.
You did. I do have to give you credit on that one. Also, we spoke about Cole Beasley earlier and how he has been fairly vocal about not wanting to get vaccinated against COVID and how he did not agree with the NFLPA provisions to the COVID protocol for vaccinated versus unvaccinated players. And look, I don't want to say this as I'm pushing a vaccine versus not a vaccine. This is just what is in the headlines. Cole Beasley responded because there was a ton of backlash. He said, I will live my life like I want to, regardless of what the NFL says. He said, I'm not going to take meds for a leg that isn't broken. I'd rather take my chances with COVID and build up my immunity that way. I'll play for free this year to live life how I've lived it from day one if I am forced into retirement. So be it. He said a lot of other NFL players agree with him, but they're currently not in the place in their careers to speak about it publicly. So I don't know who agrees with him. He didn't mention any names. All I'm saying is, I hear you, Cole Beasley. I understand where you're coming from. You just can't play professional football.
Yeah, I mean, I would say this. Like, we all have bosses in life, and bosses make decisions for us. In his case, he has a union. Like, the Players Association made, like, the Players Association made those rules. And I understand the idea of I don't agree with it, but there's a lot of things that a lot of us have to do that we don't agree with in theory. And I do think that this is the kind of thing that could fracture a locker room. I mean, I would argue this. He said something, the tweet about everybody believing in science, whatever happened to God's will. There's a lot of people that I think will feel pretty strongly on both sides of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that could really fracture a locker room. Now, he probably feels like, hey, I'm standing up for what I believe in. So this is what I believe in. So this is what I'm going to say.
And that is totally his right.
But at the same time, you have to think about what it means when you're on a team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a lot of opinions that I don't share on the radio because it wouldn't do me any good to spend 4 hours on Stillman and Company talking about whether or not the election was stolen. Like, because there's going to be some people that believe it and some people that don't. And like I said, it doesn't do, there's nothing that I can say that will change the mind of anybody else. And I understand that Cole Beasley's passionate about this, and he and I disagree about how he feels about vaccinations or whatever. But at the end of the day, like, you represent your team. And I would just be careful that you aren't fracturing your team. that you aren't being selfish to go out on what you believe in and have it take away from the mission of the team.
He also added, now we have spoken, we are working through it. From what I'm told, these are guidelines for preseason and nothing is final. So I wonder, will the NFL, or how much will the NFL and the NFL Players Association take these thoughts into consideration to accommodate for people who are, for players who have decided to get vaccinated and players who adamantly do not want to?
Okay, how much do you think they'll take into it?
None.
0%. I mean, come on now.
I mean, I don't think these so.
Are
but
be
I,
the,
I,
these are going to be the rules for next season.
That's what I think.
Like, Cole Beasley can say somebody said to him at the Bills, hey, don't get too worked up, Cole. Like, it's okay. These are only for the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
These are going to be the rules for the season. And the truth is, I think I would love to know how the Players Association decided which route they were going to take, because the Players Association doesn't always take the most popular opinion. There were a lot of guys that didn't want this CBA. Aaron Rodgers didn't want the CBA. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson didn't want the CBA. And they got up and they spoke and said, no, we can't vote for this because we don't believe in it. And the Players Association was like, look, this is a good CBA for us. And they argued it. Is it a good CBA? I don't know. But that was the argument. Not everybody's going to agree. What I wonder is, how did the PA decide that this is what its membership wanted? How did they make that decision? They didn't have a vote on it. So how did they make this decision? Because the Players Association, a guy can literally, you know, take a cleat off and smack a guy in the face with it. That guy's going to get suspended. And if he wants to appeal the suspension, the Players Association will appeal that suspension on his behalf. So the Players Association has no problem being the bad guy. They have no problem being vilified.
Well, that's what they are. They are advocates for the players.
And yet when it comes to this, how did they make a decision negotiating for those players, knowing that there were going to be a lot of players that don't agree with what they agreed upon with the NFL?
Yeah, I don't know how this all came to be, but I do think it's very interesting that, as you said, it is an organization on behalf of the players. But so many players, well, Cole Beasley is obviously speaking out about it, and he says a lot of other players agree with me. So I wonder how that all came to fruition.
If you had to take a guess off the top of your head, and you have no basis for this, but what percentage of NFL players, active NFL players, are pro-vaccinations, and how many are anti, and how many are pro these rules?
I would say it's like a 70-30 thing, where 70 are pro, 30 are against. And that also begs the question, how many just, like, want to get life back to normal, and vaccination is just the best way to do that in their eyes? So I think that players who maybe, like, if they weren't an NFL player, maybe they wouldn't have gotten vaccinated, but said, this is the best thing for myself, for my team, to be able to get back and play the games like we normally did. So I think that there is a larger percentage from that aspect.
What's next?
So we have heard so much about this lovely little college football expansion. Nice. So the 12-team proposal will move forward after 11 university presidents agreed to move it forward. So this next step would be authorizing feedback quote. This is from a Heather Dinich article in ESPN.com. So, you know, excuse the pretty formal language. It would authorize feedback and assessments of a new format. So the Board of Managers, which is made up of 10 FBS commissioners and the Notre Dame Athletic Director, would, if they support the proposal, they can work through details about exactly how it would look. Yes, which they do. And then they have their next meeting. They just had a meeting this past week in Chicago. They have their next meeting in September. So that would give them to write to start looking into details at their meeting in September. And this article that Heather Dinich wrote mentions several times from quotes from the Board of Managers that this is not going to be a quick thing, or we will deliberate, we will look through every possible situation.
No, they won't.
But to that I say, what do you mean? You said that a week ago, and now we already have a 12-team proposal that feels like it will happen. That feels like 12 teams is pretty solidified, because that is the only thing that we have heard of. So they say it's a long process. They say they're going to think through everything. But I have a good feeling they know exactly what they're going to do.
There is maybe one thing that could stop a 12-team playoff. One thing. And that's if Nick Saban said, I'm out. If you go to 12, I'm out. That maybe the only thing that stops this from happening.
Can he say that?
I'm sure he can say whatever he wants.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
I mean, I think he's got enough money, so Saban could walk away today. So No, I don't think he would.
I don't think he would.
But that is, again, the only thing that could stop this is if Saban said, I'm out. Because he is, like, you know, we talk about Tiger Woods or guys that are as big as their sport, if not bigger. LeBron is this way in the NBA. Like, I think some of these playoff series are really entertaining, but nobody's tuning in to watch Paul George versus Donovan Mitchell. It's just not going to happen. So when LeBron is on, more people watch. Saban is either bigger than college football or as big as college football, and I do believe the college football ratings will go down significantly the second he leaves Alabama. So he's got some sway. If Saban were to say, either we do eight, stay at four, or I'm out, I think they'd have to think about it. Again, I said it has a chance. I'm not saying if Saban said it, they would change because there's still a lot of money on the table.
And I don't think Saban would. I think he's the kind of guy that's like 8, 12, 64, whatever. We don't care. We'll show up and we'll play games.
Oh, I don't know. I think he cares. I think he – I know he hated the 14 playoff. And I asked Trevor if he thought Saban would like or hate the 12-team playoff. And, of course, Trevor said he thinks Saban would like it. I don't agree.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think Saban's going to hate this. I really do. But also, I don't think it's. I don't think Saban's going to care enough to throw a big fit about it.
Right. I don't think Saban is necessarily a fit thrower.
But if Saban did, and that's big if.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. If Saban threw a big fit, then I think you could have the potential that that could be somewhat of an issue. Those are. Go ahead.
I also don't know if the ratings would necessarily go down if Nick Saban left. I feel like, in a way, college football ratings could go up. Because you don't have that team that you know is just going to win at the end of all of it. So it, I feel like it opens up college football a good bit.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I think stars move the needle. Peyton Manning left, the NFL ratings went down. And I just kind of, I mean, Saban's the star of that sport.
Yeah.
He is the
That's
star.
True.
And this idea, everybody thinks that more teams means more interest. And this is so not true anymore in today's society. It is not more teams, more interest. It is if Tiger Woods is playing on Sunday, there's interest. If the Dallas Cowboys are good, there's interest. If the Yankees or LeBron, there's interest. But if it's more wide open, take the NBA. The NBA is not more interesting, even though there are more teams available. It's not more interesting to the TV people without a LeBron. Those are headlines with Caroline. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Again, we are live from the Gaylord Springs Golf Course, where today is the NFL Alumni Event, the Charity Golf Classic, which we are out at. We are live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Who wants to see Nashville SC? Well, you've got your chance because 102.5 The Game, T-Mobile, have partnered up to give you the chance to experience a Nashville SC game this season. Tune in every Monday to Darren, Donick, and Chase for the keyword to text in to win. Good luck from 102.5 The Game, T-Mobile, and Nashville SC. Stillman and Company, it's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. From the Gaylord Springs Golf Club, where the NFL alumni, they go out. The NFL alumni charity golf tournament is happening today. Glad to be here and an Oiler great and spent some time working with Floyd back in the day, the early days of the Titans. Al Smith is with us. Al, how are you?
How you doing? Good to be here.
I'm glad to be out here, and it's funny because, I mean, you've been involved with NFL alumni for a long time. Then you kind of transitioned, moved around a little bit. You were with Vandy, Coach Mason for a second. Now you're at the league office, and we'll get into that, I guess, a little bit, see what I can ask there. But I know the NFL alumni, and I know that raising the money for charity has always been a big deal to you.
Yeah, it's always good. I mean, giving back to the community. I mean, a lot of guys, you know, play in different cities or what have you. And anytime your community supports you, you want to give back to the community and help the community in any way you can. And this is one of the avenues to do that. Some guys have foundations. Some guys do all these different things or what have you. But this is a way to do it, not just from the charitable side, but from an advocacy side, too, helping players, caring for our own and caring for kids, and kind of have a two-prong approach, which helps everyone.
All right, now let's get into the good stuff. So you are now doing, essentially, you are the compliance officer at the NFL.
One of them. Yes.
Which means that you are kind of in charge of the bad stuff.
Yeah, I'm. What I do is that when teams come to Nissan Stadium, especially the visiting team in most cases, because you know obviously the Titans are there. When the visiting team comes in, making sure they're compliant and the way they're dressing and how they're advertising and players trying to get their own brands in there or what have you. You know, the NFL's big on their brands. I do the documentation as far as documenting. If a guy says, you know, I was complying. Well, no, you weren't complying. Cause I do the documentation. It goes to New York. New York sends the letter to the player, and the player gets that letter that says that you have been fined XYZ. And if you want to dispute it or what have you, you can, but the documentation is there.
How much harder is that going to be with these COVID restrictions? Because we know what they're going to be now for the preseason, but we don't know what they're going to be for the regular season. And there are a lot of players that aren't happy about this. And I do wonder kind of like, I don't want to say it's like a slippery slope, but it does feel like that. The NFL doesn't like being in the drama business. They like the drama to be, like, on the field. They like, you know, can Brady win an eighth Super Bowl kind of drama? Or Brady versus Belichick Sunday night football drama. They don't like so-and-so is losing their mind on Twitter over COVID vaccines talking about the NFL drama. And I do wonder how that's going to look this year.
Well, it's going to be interesting. We haven't got our protocol as far as what that looks like. We'll get that in July. But if you have something specific that you've seen, you can ask me about that. But I haven't, you know, seen the list of any the new changes or what have you. Last year, you know, it's like we couldn't go in the locker room. You know, before I would go in the locker room and I could document things in there and let players know what they need to do. You know, after warm-ups, go back in the locker room, make sure a guy has changed if they're in violation in some way. But this year, it's going to be interesting in that, you know, everybody, you know, some people not on the sidelines. You have to be authorized to be on the sideline. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times some fans, your pregame, all those type of things. But it seems like the league is trying to get the fans back in the stadium. So what that line is as far as on the field, what have you, and how many people are in the stadium is going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. But, you know, when you look at the NBA and the numbers are going up, and, you know, obviously the NFL numbers are even bigger than the NBA numbers as far as attendance. So it's going to be interesting to see that. But hopefully, the fans get back into the stands and be able to enjoy the game and enjoy everything that we love.
Al Smith, former All-Pro linebacker, former member of the Titans front office under Floyd. You think the Titans are Super Bowl contenders with Julio Jones?
Well, to answer your question in a nutshell, because I know you like to be direct.
I think it was a pretty direct question.
Yes, yeah. Well, yes, it should be. I mean, you look at them on paper. I mean, you look at their offense, and when you if you put the names of the Titans offense and you put the names of the Buccaneers offense, who would excite you more? Mm-hmm. The Titans offense, right? They have some more powerful names. They have guys that have done great things, guys that have made their mark in the league, so to speak, young and old. And the thing about it now is that, you know, they have to stay healthy. You know, Derrick Henry has been putting up 1,000-yard years back-to-back, and a lot of times when running backs do that, at some point they hit a wall, injuries come. Hopefully he doesn't. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you got to look at that aspect. Julio is, you know, up there in age. He is coming off of some injuries or what have you. Brown. Last year, how many games did he miss?
After every play, I thought they were going to have to bring the stretcher out every time. And then three plays later, he'd be back in the game.
So when you look at it,
it's like watching Albert Haynesworth again.
So when you look at that, then all of a sudden that comes together, and then you get to a point where that super team all of a sudden is like, Tannehill, you know, something, I hurt my thumb on the helmet, or anything can happen. So many things have to fall into place for that Super Bowl run, mm-hmm. so to speak, because, you know, they play Kansas City, and, you know, they still got some teams they got to go through now. You know, Kansas City has proven and tested year in and year out that they'll be there. Titans hadn't proven that yet.
How much do you believe in Tannehill? Because it's a weird thing. You know, Steve McNair, when he was a quarterback, never put up huge stats. You know, he won the MVP, but he was never a huge stat guy. You know, Peyton Manning would put up huge stats. And even a guy, like, you'd look at the stats and you'd see passing yards and you'd see Brian Greasy ahead of Steve McNair. And you're like, how did that happen? But you just, I knew, you know, you were with the team. I'm sitting here as a fan, like in the eighth grade, and I just knew in that stadium that if you gave Steve McNair the ball with 2 minutes to go at the end of the game, he's going to win the game for you. With Tannehill, I think he's done a great job and has stabilized a lot of things that they've had issues with pre-Tannehill. But I do wonder when it comes to beating a Kansas City, when it comes to beating a Tampa Bay, when it comes to the road in the playoffs, these teams are going to take Derrick Henry away. When they do that with Julio Jones, can Tannehill be good enough to make those teams pay and beat them?
And that's the million-dollar question. Obviously, he's had some consistency here, but I always look at the totality of a guy's career. He's had success here. Pre-Titans, there were question marks, obviously.
Sure.
He has some weapons around him now. There's no excuses. The line is, you know, expensive line, experienced line. You got all-pro back. You got two all-pro receivers. You got blocking tight end. I mean, you have so many things in place that it's built for success for him. You know, it's like, how can you mess it up?
Sure.
Don't mess it up. Please don't mess it up. So in that case, I think he can. But at the same time, as we have seen in the playoffs, so many things, you know, happen. It could be turnovers. It could be, you know, the defense doesn't hold, you know, it's not holding up. Even if you are putting points over, can you go point for point, toe to toe, quarter to quarter, half to half, game to game with a team like Kansas City? And that's been the question. When Kansas City came here last time, what happened? Kansas City put some numbers up.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, after the quarterback had been out a while, their quarterback had been out a while. So, you know, you have that, and you got Cleveland's coming on strong. They have weapons. You know, the AFC is not going to be this, you know, gimme. You know, the Colts, you know, they don't act flashy, but they kind of hang in. You know, they have a serviceable guy now. He's not a great guy, but that's all they needed.
Why Al Smith's with us? Why the Titans can't get a pass rush? And now they spent money on Dupree. But, like, when you were there, I mean, every year, first-round picks were turned into stars. Javon Kearse and Keith Bullock and Albert Ainsworth and
Kevin Carter,
first-round pick traded for him. Or even if you want to go before that. Like, it just – now I look at the Titans. Like, how can this team not get to the quarterback? And why is the defense so lousy when Mike Vrabel's a defensive guy? You're a defensive guy. Vrabel's a defensive guy. Why can the defense not get figured out?
Well, I mean they have to get to, you know, obviously the pass rush has to be there. It's almost like they're trying to do it in, you know, a cost-saving way. I mean, yeah, you know, Clowney, we, you know, took a chance. But Clowney, you know, hadn't shown, he didn't show the consistency in those years prior to him coming here.
Sure.
Whether being hurt or consistency, he's always had question marks. Effort, all those type of things, and it showed his, you know, ugly head. Dupree, you know, a young guy, has shown a lot of things with Pittsburgh. ACL, coming off of ACL, I mean, for anybody, that first year is always...
Would that worry you, like, as an executive? Like, put it on your executive hat. Would that worry you?
Anytime you're coming off an injury, that would worry you because of the fact that he's not even hasn't been a year. Hasn't been a full calendar year that he's been out. I'm sure he's out there running around in shorts. Everybody looks good in shorts. But when he starts, you know, hitting you, you have to plant, you're game in, game out. You know, taking on blocks, all the things, you know, Pittsburgh, you're coming off the edge. Now, is he going to do the same thing? Are they going to play him the same way that they did in Pittsburgh, or are they going to play him the way the Titans play him? So, you know, you got to look at that, because a guy could look great in the Pittsburgh Steelers uniform or on another team, but when you look at how they play them in that system, are you going to do the same thing that cost him all that great success where he was? Or are you going to do those same type of things where you are?
So I have a theory about my old co-host, your old boss, Floyd Reese. And I would always tell people, like, Floyd is definitely not racist. He's not sexist. He is an injurist. That if you're injured, he doesn't like you.
Yeah.
And I look at some of the moves the Titans have made. Julio's coming off a hamstring. Dupree's coming off an ACL. The first-round pick is coming off a back surgery. It makes me nervous, Al. And I think some of these guys... You know, the doctors will say, oh, yeah, no, we think it'll be okay. But all these guys can end up being okay, and it makes me very nervous.
Well, being okay, you know, walking around, hanging out with me and you.
Oh, sure, you know, yeah. You know, get them out on the golf course, I think they'll be okay.
They'll be okay. Hey, but when you're out there as a professional athlete, you're going against guys, you know, high-powered speed, different torque, stop-go, change of directions, all the things that the body wasn't made to do, technically, and then you haven't seen a guy do that in a while, and then you're dependent on a guy, anything can happen. Like you said, you're dealing with a back with a cornerback. I think it was his back.
Yeah.
But, and he's not – I don't know if he's even practicing now.
He is not.
So we're almost in July. Right?
Correct.
So, and you haven't practiced. I don't know if with the training camp situation, is it going to be, okay, we're going to ease them into, you know, training camp?
I think
camp.
It is going to be like that. Yeah. So, like, it's going to be, you know, practice one day, take a couple days off. Yeah. But
for a 22-year-old. Now, if he was 32, you know, yeah, you could back off.
But if I'm going to play him against DeAndre Hopkins in week one, Al, like, I need to know that he can cover the guy and knows what he's doing.
Well, true. Exactly. But then not only you have him, then you got the guy from LSU, the young guy.
Yeah, Fulton got hurt last year.
I think Adoree's gone, right?
Adoree's out.
So
they got Janoris Jenkins, who's been there for, you know, been in the NFL for forever, okay. You know, that kind of guy.
But he got so he has to fit in.
He has to fit in.
Byard's
still there.
But Byard is coming off of, you know, a subpar year, correct?
Correct.
So he's fighting his way back to, you know, get back to, you know, his status. Linebacker, are we solid there? No. Right?
Could use an Al Smith.
Well, probably so, but that's another story. I have a different mentality.
it's so crazy because, like, Floyd was so, when I worked with him, and, I mean, you probably knew this at an even deeper level, because he'd never want to criticize, you know, the Titans publicly. He always brought up to me that if he were to criticize the Titans publicly, he knows that it would be in the front page, you know, former Titans general manager Floyd Reese says this, and it would be controversy, and he wouldn't want to do that.
Right. Exactly.
But I look at moves they're making, and I'm like, he would not have made some of these moves. You know, these injured guys. And it makes me, and I, again, I'm biased, but it makes me nervous looking at how this team's being built.
Well, when Floyd drafted, that was always a big thing. You know, guy have in, you know.
He's an injurist. If you're injured, he doesn't like you.
He has some history there because it rears its ugly head. Mm-hmm. You know, at some point, you know, Julio, don't being a veteran, high-priced guy, I mean, you know, whatever went on in Atlanta, you know, he didn't play this much this year. I don't know if that was more injury or he didn't, you know, it was some kind of
good. Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, he made, you know, look good. I mean, guys look good now, but now we got, what, another game this season. What, we got
17 games.
17 games. You might say, oh, this is one more game. Yeah, one more game when a guy already can't go 16 games. Mm-hmm. One more game is, you know, is an eternity, you know, for some guys. So, you know, health, Henry, you know, coming back, you know, with, you know, taking a pound, even though he's getting thousands, you know, he takes a pound and two, you know, at the same time.
Are you worried about that with him?
Yeah, I'm worried about, you know, this is year six coming up.
I think this is year six, yeah.
Yeah, year six coming up. And not only that, he's kind of been a workhorse the first couple years. You know, he was kind of, you know, just kind of tippy-toeing around. And,
sure. Not,
you know, he was like, oh, we need to see more. And then, you know, he's not like Eddie George. He's not all these, you know, guys. You know, he got that pressure, and he had his breakout. You know, he got his breakout, you know, I think in year three. So three, four, five have been great years. Now we're in the six. You know, when you look at, you know, running backs, Atlanta's an old running back. And, you know, guys that had 1,000 yards, boom.
Sure.
Injury. You know, just look at the history of a lot of running backs that had great success and had a lot of yards year in, year out, and something happens. You know, just the law of physics, whatever the case may be, because that's the toughest position on the field. I mean, a running back, anytime you touch the ball, you're going to get, you know, you're getting hit, you're getting you know, torque, you know, people on your back. I mean, that's, you know, you're going through the gauntlet.
Al Smith with us, former Oilers All-Pro linebacker, former Titans executive, worked over at Vanderbilt, worked at the NFL office, all kinds of things, NFL alumni. Last question for you. At their peak, the best that they've been, would you take Eddie George or Derrick Henry?
At their peak?
I'm putting you on the spot here.
Wow, man, you put me on the spot. Because you got to have a, you know, supporting cast. I still got to get, you know. So I played against Eddie. I hit Eddie, you know, when he was, you know, rookie year coming in and all that. So, So I would, you know, peak for, you know.
At their best.
At their best, both. I have to roll with Eddie. I think I have to roll with, you know, Eddie, because he's my guy.
So I love Eddie, too. And
because of the fact that, you know, his moves, his durability, all those things. You know, he started, you know, getting toe, hammies.
Never
miss
a game.
And then what?
Never miss a game. But he was never the same. After 27 years old, last all-pro season, which is Derek, you know, Derek's going to be 27 this year, I get a little worried about that. But I would take Derek at their peak. I think Derek is more dominant, you know, in terms of kind of these. Eddie was never running for 240 in the playoffs like Derek was last year against the Patriots kind of thing.
But he has run 240 in games.
I know, I know. But I would say this. Chris Sanders and I argue about this literally once a year. So like
Who's Chris for?
Who do you think Chris is for?
Eddie.
Well, yeah, but he's biased. He played with him. He played with him in college.
Well, I played with him too. Okay, but nothing against Derek. You know, Derek's a, you know, great player. You know, me as a linebacker, I love playing against, you know, the big backs.
Oh, yeah.
To me, I look at it like, people are like, why are you going to hit a big back?
Like a measuring stick kind of
like
thing?
It's like target. It's like target practice. I get to, I love that. And, You know, Eddie had, his legs were stronger. You know, calves. When you look at Derek's body, you know, from waist down, it's a little gazelle-ish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's when I say gazelle-ish, you know, lean. You know, smaller calves,
sure.
Ankles. Well, Eddie had, you know, bigger calves. You know, those things. You think, well, that's not a big deal. Well, he said, look, but you know, over time, those things, you know, rear its ugly head.
Al, thanks for having us out here.
Oh, I appreciate you
and
being
thanks
here,
for stopping
man.
By, as always.
You the man.
Again, the NFL alumni, the golf tournament, you guys do so much for the alumni. You guys do so much for, again, good causes, charities, etc. Thanks for having us out here.
Well, appreciate you having me.
Yep, Al Smith, former all-pro linebacker with the Oilers, longtime Titan executive as well. Stillman and company, we'll take some calls, do some stuff, whatever. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We're streaming on the Game National app. Fireball Hot Take Friday. By the way, great conversation with Al Smith. Glad that we are out here at the Gaylord Springs Golf Club for the NFL alumni. And again, I have never met a former Titan Oiler who played with Eddie George that would pick Derrick Henry at his peak over Eddie George. But I would pick Derrick Henry at his peak over Eddie George.
Well, you know, nouveau Titans fan.
No, I was day one. Went to the first game.
And I mean, I showed
you on YouTube the Steve McNair play at the Super Bowl.
You did.
And the Drew Bennett drop in the game against New England. Let's get to your phones, unless you have a thought.
To the phones.
Phones we go. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Greg is up next on the Titans D-line. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, I'm curious how the Titans improved this year. I mean, that's scary to think about is, you know, of course, they lost Corey Davis and, oh, my gosh, just a ton of players on the D-line and their defensive backs and Kenny DeCaro, Dory Jackson. I mean, you could go down the list. Jonnu Smith was huge. And Daquan Jones. And what they got in place of that was subpar. I mean,
so, Greg, I'm going to answer your question like this, and I appreciate your call. I'm going to answer your question like this. The question I just asked Al Smith about injured players – you better hope that none of them are injured. You better hope Dupree is able to play. You better hope Julio's hamstring is not an issue, though it doesn't seem like Julio's hamstring will be an issue, but you never know. You need Dupree to be healthy and to be a difference maker as a sacker, and you need Farley to be the answer at corner. And, yeah, they're investing a lot into injured guys. It's not how I would do it, but this is how they do it. And it's kind of like, you know, when you disagree with the team on something, this is the route they've chosen to go. So they're banking on the injured guys. It's like a guy, I said this when they drafted Farley. I said, I'm not a cryptocurrency guy, but I have friends that are just all about it. And it is a risk. And to me, I don't think that it's worth the risk. Like, I am not into the cryptocurrency because I don't think it's worth the risk. But to them, they think it is the wave of the future. Robinson thinks he can't get good players in the draft like Farley if he doesn't draft an injured player, or get that pass rusher like Dupree if he's not injured. And so, look, I get it, but I guess I'm saying I just wouldn't do it.
Well, I also wonder, too, in a perfect world where Caleb Farley was never injured, where would he have gone in the draft? Because if Caleb Farley is 100% and
like
he
Denver
is...
maybe? Eighth? Seventh?
You think?
I think...
If he becomes
Jason
the corner that
eighth
he was...
to Carolina, so maybe that. But I'm with you. That's a good question.
Right. Because if he ends up being the corner that he was promised to be, you know, pre-injury, then John Robinson's going to look like a genius for getting him at, what, 22?
Mm-hmm. But that's the risk you take.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm going to flip-flop on something I said earlier this week.
Do it.
And we'll do that next. And we'll have Caroline's here on Stillman & Company. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's always exciting when a player scores a goal in the Euros, but this year it's twice as exciting because FanDuel is paying out double the winnings when you bet on a player to score during a Euro 2020 game. Just sign up using the FanDuel Sportsbook app, my official sportsbook app, and enter the promo code JGM and pick your goal scorer for a shot at two times the payout. No matter who you pick, FanDuel will double your payout up to $250, and you'll have your bonus in less than 72 hours. There's no better place to bet the Euro 2020 than the FanDuel Sportsbook app. FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook app. They have the best betting lines, lots of promotions for new and existing customers, fast payouts, safe, it's secure, it's easy to use. Sign up for the FanDuel Sportsbook with the promo code JGM and choose any player in the anytime goal scorer market for a chance to double your winnings. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in a designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus $250. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Stillman & Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday. Had a lot of fun out here at the Gaylord Springs Golf Club. I said that I'm going to flip-flop on something, and I'm going to do that right now. I thought, going into this, I felt like the Tennessee Volunteers in the College World Series, Vandy tomorrow night, Tennessee on Sunday, I felt like Tennessee has a team that I trust to get out of their side of the bracket more than I trust Vanderbilt. And the more I have thought about it, the more I have heard both coaches talk, the more I am going to side with Vanderbilt to get out of their bracket.
Okay.
And the reason I say this is because I don't think Tennessee knows how hard this is. I have buddies. My roommate in college made the College World Series one time. And he told me that they put so much energy into getting to Omaha that it was like once they got there, they weren't prepared for how difficult it was going to be. And they got smacked twice. And I'm not saying the Vols are going to get smacked twice, but it's hard. And I just think Vanderbilt knows what it takes. And so I'm flip-flopping. I think Vanderbilt has a better shot in winning this weekend.
I think Tennessee understands how hard it is. I don't think there's any baseball team out there. Maybe that's kind of a bold statement to make. But I think that there are very few baseball teams out there that don't understand how difficult it is to play in the postseason, to play on the biggest stage in college baseball. And I don't think just because this team hasn't been there in a long time, I don't think it's lost on them how difficult it is.
With that, it's time for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's. Here on Stillman & Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
You flip-flop, so I'm going to flip-flop a pick that went in my favor yesterday, Braves Cardinals. You went with the Cardinals, I went with the Braves. I'm now taking the Cardinals on the money line plus 125. Pretty rough rubber match that we have tonight. Carlos Martinez with a 5.82 ERA. Max Fried on the mound for the Braves with a 4.62 ERA. The biggest reason why I'm going with the Cardinals tonight is because Carlos Martinez is coming off of 4 days of rest. Typically it's five. On a 5 day rest, Carlos Martinez has a 9 ERA. Off of 4 days rest, he has a 1.29 ERA. Probably fewer games there, but the Cardinals have not been able to get the Mets moving at all, but I'm taking the better value. The Braves aren't that great either. Give me the Cardinals.
I am going to take the Cardinals, too, because I think the Braves stink, and I gave up on the season 2 days ago, and I'm standing by it. Give me the Cardinals.
Gave up on the Braves yesterday, and they won.
I'm still giving up.
Did
Season's
me a
over.
Favor.
Season's over.
We also have Vegas-Montreal tonight. Give me Vegas on the money line. Minus 167. Not the best odds in the world, but I am so confident that this Vegas team is just where it's at. The series is tied 1-1. Vegas wants their advantage back. Marc-Andre Fleury had his second worst playoff performance in Game 2, in which Montreal won. He had an .870 save percentage, where he's sitting at about a .923 average save percentage on the season. I think he'll rebound tonight. I don't think he has two back-to-back bad outings. That's not a Vezina candidate. I think Vegas is a better team.
I'm going to take Montreal because the game is being played in Montreal. And I just think that Montreal, you know, they have been dying for their team to be relevant for the last 5 or 6 years. Now here they are. Montreal is hot. I think there's something about this Canadiens team. Give me Le Canadiens de Montreal. What's next?
Talk about a difference in crowds. Vegas versus Montreal. We also have Bucks and Nets, which will be on 102.5 The Game tonight. I'm going to take the Nets +5.5, -110. I'm also going to take the under on this game, -105.
After you took the Bucks yesterday?
Yes.
Why are you taking the Nets today?
Because I'm taking them +5.5.
Okay.
So Kyrie's out. James Harden is injured. Katie can do it himself. Can he again? I think he could. The defense is, I'm going to say I'm more confident about the under because the defense in this series or in this game is going to be absolutely insane. It's game 7. They know what's on the line. They're going to be blocking shots left and right. I think it's going to be physical defense, big time stops tonight. Nets +5.5.
I am going to take the Bucks on the money line.
Okay.
Now, Vandy and the Vols, Vanderbilt, Arizona, 7 o'clock Saturday night. I am taking Vanderbilt. Give me Kumar Rocker. Who are you taking?
I also am going to take Vanderbilt on the money line.
Why?
Because Kumar Rocker.
Okay. That takes us to Sunday. The Vols, they kick their College World Series action off against Virginia. Mm-hmm. Virginia had to get past Dallas Baptist. That game on ESPN2 at 2 o'clock.
Not a bad game.
Vols or Virginia?
Do you know who is pitching for the Vols?
I'm guessing it's Chad Dallas.
If it's Chad Dallas, then give me the Vols on the money line.
So I'm going.
I like goggles.
I am going to take Virginia, and I just think this is going to be really hard. And Virginia is a program who's been there, won a national title before. I think the Vols and Mississippi State will be playing on Tuesday. I think that'll be a great game, but it is going to be a hard. I'm going to take Vanderbilt on Saturday. I'm going to take Virginia to knock off the Vols on Sunday.
I am picking both teams to advance.
Of course you are.
What does that mean?
That's, you know, go team.
Go team.
Go team, go. That's going to do it for us. Special thanks to all of the people out here at Gaylord Springs Golf Club that took care of us, the NFL alumni that took care of us. The Nashville Sounds and Gwinnett Stripers are coming up next. Stillman & Company, we're back Monday at 2:00.